Thank you, man. It's a blessing to hear good music sung by people who believe what they're singing and who live lives that match up what they're singing. And I thank these men not only for their singing, but for their testimonies and their friendship as well. We're continuing our study in the book of James, Practical Christian Training, from the church's first pastor. It's been a good study for me. I hope it's been a blessing to you. And we're heading into chapter 4. I'll read the whole chapter here if you want to follow along. James chapter 4, entire chapter, and we'll go from there. As you are turning there and thinking, I hope that you'll be praying for a couple of people. We've got some folks who, over the course of the year, lost loved ones. Just remember them at Christmas time. A lot of times at Christmas time, we get busy with all of our activities and all the family activities and all this stuff, and we forget there are people who are hurting. Let's remember them. And be with the, ask the Lord to be with John French as well. John's got a little bit of a malady right now, keeping him from being here in church. So you just remember him in prayer. Pray for Shirley as she takes care of him. And good to see you, Shirley, this morning. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. The adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. I have in my Bibles there about that 10th verse, that humility is a decision. We have to decide to be humble. Humility is a command. We've been told to be humble. And humility is an action. We have to force ourselves to humble ourselves and kneel before God. Let's go on to verse 11. This is the text that we'll be focusing on primarily today. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye, to say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. As I was doing my study this week, I ran across one commentator that looked at verses 11 through 17, and he entitled his section of that commentary, When Nobodies Act Like Somebodies. And I thought that was a pretty good title, so that's what I picked for this morning's message. When Nobodies Act Like Somebodies. You know, pride is one of those funny things that we can see in other people. But it's really hard to look at in the mirror and recognize, right? You know when somebody else is proud, but it's pretty hard to recognize when you yourself are proud. That's why we have God's Word that sometimes points these things out to us. And a Holy Spirit that lives inside of us who brings it up too. And then we also have those wonderful friends who remind us. And we're grateful for them and we're thankful for them. Today we're basically going to look at three things about this when nobody's act like somebody's. First of all, nobody's act like somebody's when we talk as though we're better than others. Secondly, nobody's act like somebody's when we live as though our plan is better than God's plan. And then thirdly, nobody's act like somebody's when we ignore God's clear, understood commands. God made His will and His ways pretty clear what He wants us to do, and He wants us to respond to it accordingly. Now last week, this is kind of a continuation almost of what we talked about last week, causes of controversy in the Church of Christ. And we looked at several things. In the first couple of verses, we saw a double-mindedness. We want to serve God, and yet we want to serve ourselves. From whence come wars and fightings among you? They come from the lust that we have within our members. We want to be right, but yet we have our own feelings. We have that battle going on. Verses 2 and 3 talks about another cause, and that is prayerlessness, or wrong praying. Either we don't pray, or we pray for our own benefit and not considering the will of God. And verses 2 and 3 talk about that. Then we get to verses 4 and 5 and talk about worldliness and how worldliness is the rest of what happens here. James 4 and 5 talks about spiritual adultery and friendship with the world and how that makes us enemies of God. And then we kind of hit on the idea, the answer to those problems is found in the verses that follow, 6 through 10, which deal with the idea of humility. Well, today is a continuation of that, and it goes on. Again, we sometimes think we're somebody, when we really need to recognize we're nobodies, unless God blows some air in us, you know. That's just the way it is. We see another proof of this pride that tends to creep into our lives and take over our lives in verses 11 and 12. Now, the danger of talking about other people, evil speaking. Ultimately, when you are talking about other people and all you're doing is diverting the attention away from yourself, right? If you get people thinking about that other person, they won't look at your flaws and your problems and your difficulties and the things that need to change in your own life. James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12 says, let's focus on this for just a minute. Speak not evil of one another. What is that? Speaking evil. That is all sorts of things. It's slander. It's making up things. Sometimes it's telling the truth about somebody with the intention of hurting them with the truth. The Bible tells us pretty clearly we're supposed to speak the truth in love, not speak the truth to hurt. You know, this thing of our tongue, it's really hard. It wags and it runs. And James has said a lot about it. Look back at a couple of things about our evil speaking. James chapter 1, look back there for a second, verse 26. We preached on this recently. Just a reminder, just go back here. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And then you can go to chapter 3 in that great chapter on the tongue that talks about all these things that have been tamed and wild beasts and how little thing causes big trouble. You got the bridle in a horse's mouth. You got the rudder on a ship. You got a little ember that begins a fire. You got water, sweet and bitter water coming out all at the same time. These are things that shouldn't be. Our tongues are very quick to get us into trouble, aren't they? And we've got to ask God to give us strength. But it's not just James who recognizes this. Way back in the Old Testament, God was pretty clear that He wants us to learn how to control our tongues and to get our brain in gear and our heart engaged with God before we speak. In Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 16, He said, "Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord." In other words, God said, even Leviticus, one of the laws is to keep your tongue under control. Don't be one of these talebearers. You know, some of us are real easy and quick. You know, we like to know everything, don't we? We like to know everything. And some people like to be the source of everybody's knowledge. God wants us not to be that. God wants us to be people who take burdens to the Lord, speak what we need to speak, be quiet when we need to speak. Look at Psalm chapter 15 for just a minute. I want to read three verses to you there. Psalm 15. Keep your Bibles going. I want to look at several of these because I want you to get it. I really do. We all battle this. You may have somebody else in mind. Well, that may be the problem. Automatically, you're thinking about somebody else, and it could be you. I think old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say that. He used to speak up and he'd preach and he'd say, "There's a problem, no doubt the problem's with you." And I can imagine him hollering that out. But let's look at this. Psalm chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" Here's the answer. "He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, but taketh up a reproach, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. They hear stories, they hear the tales, and they go check it out rather than passing it on. Psalm chapter 50. Look there for just a minute. Psalm chapter 50, verses 16 to 21. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. I think it helps it be a little bit more clear. Psalm 50, verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. When you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. And you let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Look at Psalm 52, verses 4 through 6. Psalm 52. Verse 4, thou lovest all devouring words. Don't you love to get a little juicy piece of gossip sometimes? Don't you just love it? They thought they had their whole life together. Now you know it's not so. Well, forget the fact that your life's not all together either. Psalm 52, verse 4, thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place. And root thee out of the land of the living. Proverbs chapter 6. Look there. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 16. These six things that the Lord hates, these seven, are an abomination unto him. We've talked about this in the past where we think of abomination and things that come to mind are homosexuality and deviance and all sorts of evil things. And they are. But these six things also fit into that category. A proud look, verse 17. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. False witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. You know, our tongues can cause an awful lot of trouble. They really can. In my studies, and I don't have the story here, but let me see if I can remember it and tell it to you the way I remember reading it. There was a family. From what I understand, it was a true story. There was a family that was very happy. A husband who went to work faithfully every day, and he came home that night, was greeted by his wife, who's had three or four children, and the last child, she had some difficulty in childbirth, and so she was fairly frail. But yet she was still loving of her husband. The kids all greeted Dad at the door. Everything was going wonderful. They had a beautiful family. And then somebody started a rumor about the father having an affair with somebody at work. And the rumor got back to this mother who was already in a weakened state after having these children, busy running around caring for these children, loving these children as she should. And it ate at her and it bothered her. And one day he came home from work and did not find a family ready to greet him. His wife wasn't there to give him a kiss. His children didn't run up to play. He was disturbed. He couldn't figure it out. Nobody was in the house. He went to the basement and found them all hanging. The danger of a tongue. It went to the newspapers and was spread all over. The rumor was proven to be untrue. Can you imagine the guilt that the person who began and the people who spread that rumor, especially the ones who told it to that weakened wife? Our words need to be building up, not tearing down. Our words can destroy. Look at Romans chapter 1. Verse 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. So look at verse 18 and then skip down to verse 28. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Our tongues can be so malicious. full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parent, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They don't like that. They don't only enjoy hearing the story. They really relish the thought of the story. Can't wait to get it. And can't wait to pass it on. And God's wrath is revealed on them. The Bible says very clearly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Look there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. I love to hear the rustle of the pages. That's good. Or the clicks of the iPod, whatever it is that you're following along on. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed with one another. Ephesians 4, 28. A few more passages on this and we'll go on. Ephesians 4, 29, I'm sorry. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, sometimes we lash back at people who hurt us. And we lash back with the tongue. We're to be forgiving. I talked to someone about forgiveness even this week. And I said, well, they never asked for forgiveness. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Forgive them. And then wait for their request. And then you're already ready to tell them. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He forgave us before the beginning of time. And he said, just come to me and we'll get this settled. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. It says there, but now ye also put off, get rid of, put this out of your life, put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. 1 Peter chapter 2, last verse, we'll look on this particular passage. Don't throw your Bible away, we're going to see him again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, or so may you taste it, that the Lord is gracious. You know, we need to replace all that time we spend on spreading rumors, and inventing things, and coming up with stories, with a study of the Word of God. It makes a big difference.
Amen.
Hard to talk evil about other people and read your Bible at the same time. It really is. Keep your mind where it should be, and your words will be where they should be as well. Now go back to James chapter 4, and we'll see this thing here. Speak not evil one of another, verse 11. James chapter 4, verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Again, who's this talking about? We're talking about Christians talking about Christians. I told you before, my father-in-law said the meanest people he ever met in his life were Christians. He said he was out working in the secular world, driving trucks and working on a farm, and he'd go down and have breakfast with his unsaved buddies, and then he started going to church, he got right with God, started going to church, and he started meeting the meanest people he ever met, Christians, who were talking about one another. Divisions, anger, holier than thou, judging other people constantly. Splitting churches over what people are saying about one another.
That's right.
he says, is wrong. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law. What law? Two laws, main laws that we need to remember. If we can get these two down, everything will be just fine. Number one, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you like to have lies spread about you? No. Do you like to have stories made up about you? No. Do you like people to tell all your secrets of things that maybe have happened in the past and you've asked God's forgiveness and you've been forgiven and it's all done, it's all covered by the blood, and yet people like to tell the stories about what happened in your past? No. If you don't want it done for you, don't do it to other people. You know, one of the things that happens, the longer a pastor's around, he knows everything about everybody. I want you to know, if you come to me and you need counsel and you need advice, I'm going to take you to God's Word and we're going to keep that between us and God. And we'll deal with it as we have to, biblically. But it's not going to become anybody's business but ours.
Praise the Lord.
That's the way it should be. If someone comes to you for counsel, take them to God's Word. Take it as far as it needs to go, but don't take it any farther. Every one of us fails. Every one of us sins. Every one of us has something in the past that we just wish we hadn't done and we really don't want to dwell on. Let's forgive, forget, go on, start anew, go forward for God. Leave it in the past. Speak not evil of one another. If thou judge the law, let's see, if you do speak evil of the law, you judge the law. If thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Here's what it's saying. Let me just kind of see if I can put it in as succinctly as I possibly can. When God gives a law, and he said, love your neighbor as yourself, you either get under it in submission or you go over it as a judge. You either say, yes, that applies to me, or no, it doesn't. Speed limits. I don't even like to talk about them. It says 50 miles an hour. And you say, I can drive this road safer, faster than that. You've made yourself a judge of the law rather than submitting under it. And I shouldn't say you, I should say I have made myself a judge of the law instead of submitting to it. We're saying I'm smarter than the one who wrote the law. I'm wiser, I know better. When God says thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself, when God says don't speak evil of yourself, of other brethren, and you do it, you say, I know better than God. Instead we should be submitting under and saying, yes, sir. Yes, Lord, I will humbly obey.
Amen.
And when we do that, there's great peace and satisfaction that comes from it. There's one lawgiver, verse 12, who is able to save and destroy. You think you can get away with it? No. Galatians clearly says, be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. They that sow the flesh shall rob the flesh, reap corruption. They that sow the Spirit shall reap life. This is what we want to be doing. This is what we want for ourselves. This is what we want for our families, right? Let's model submission in this matter of our tongues. God said, take it easy with your tongue. Get it under control. Use it wisely. Speak the truth in love. Be kind. When we do that, it's a good model. Jesus went to the cross with people falsely accusing him of all sorts of blasphemy, and they took him all the way to driving nails in his hands and putting a spear in his side, and he uttered not a word. Well, there were a few words. One of those included, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
So when someone lashes out at you, be a nobody. Be humble. Don't be a somebody.
who lasheth back. You're not better than others. You're sure not better than God. And if Christ can hold his tongue when he has every right to speak, because that's the right thing to do at the moment, you and I can do the same. Now, he goes on. And that's the first thing we talk about. Nobody's act like somebody when we talk as though we're better than others. Or we're better than God's law. But nobody's act like somebody when we live as though our plan is better than God's. Go on to verse 13. Go to now, or come on, or wake up, listen up. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll do this or that and the other thing. We're going to do that. Look at this. This is interesting to me. They make these plans. Now listen, I understand, those of you in the business world, I remember when I ran a ministry out in California, the camp out there, I had a board that came to me and said, what's your business plan? And I understand, there's a good reason to have a business plan. You need to have a business plan. You need to kind of know where you're going. You need to have a goal to shoot for. Everything runs on our plans in private. But all of those plans should include the Lord in those plans. And I don't care if you're running a church or a multi-million dollar business. God's got to be part of the picture. These men, and by the way, he's writing to Jewish Christians. Remember James chapter 1 verse 1? To the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Remember that verse? So he's writing to Jewish Christians. What are Jews known for? Man, they sell diamond and real estate. They're wealthy people for the most part. Most of them are. They're pretty good. They're pretty smart people. They're pretty diligent people. They're pretty well known for their business savvy. And these people were no different. They were now in new towns, establishing new businesses. Many of them were like Paul, tent makers, who were making a business so they could survive in ministry. And they were going about these things in this way. Now, he says, you go to now, you either say today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a city. Notice they say when we're going to do this. We're going to do this today or tomorrow. And then it says, we will go into such and such a city. They got their own staff. They got it all picked out. We're going to do this. We've got this plan. We've got this under control. They say, we're going to do this and we're going to only be there a year. We're going to make all this money in just a year. We know it's going to happen. It's going to happen just like that. How long? A year. Where? Such and such a city. We got to figure it out. We know where we're going. We know exactly where we're going to do this. And this is the best place to do it. And we're going to do this. I think it's really interesting. It always takes me back when I'm reading this. It says, we will go continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. What are they going to do? They're going to what? They're going to buy and sell. We will live. We will buy and sell, we will get gain. That's what they're shooting for. Hey, and that's a goal. It's a good thing to plan for. The truth is, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You just don't. You just don't. Dell almost had a heart attack in announcement time this morning in Sunday school. I'm glad he didn't. But it could happen to any of us this week. We've got our plans for Christmas. We've got our plans for New Year's. We've got our plans for next year. Young people picking out colleges. Parents planning on moving out. All sorts of things. We have our plans. We've got to remember there's a God in heaven who's got plans. And we need to be willing to do whatever it takes to submit our plans to God's plan. The truth is, I'm a nobody. And though I have my desires, and though I have my goals, though I'd like to see where this church is and where my family is in the next week and month and year, decade, whatever it is, I can plan, I can do all this stuff. But who knows? A hurricane, an earthquake, an ice storm, getting T-boned at an intersection. Somebody accidentally crossing that yellow line coming in my direction. Going to the doctor and getting that diagnosis. All that can change. And unless God's in the picture, you're not ready for it. Psalm 39, verses 4 through 6. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. That's not very long. Mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Surely, every man walketh in a vain show. Surely, they are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. What's the answer? Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O God. That's the answer. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. That's the way we should live our lives. Oh, yes, plan, but pray first. And consider God. Keep Him the priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. That's the direction. That's the way to go. Instead, many times, we boast about our plans and we stick to our guns and church gets set aside for my business or prayer gets set aside for my family or Bible reading gets set aside for my schedule. We've just got to keep God at the forefront. And He'll bless us. Verse 15 says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Now, this can happen in ministry. This can happen in all kinds of ministry. I know in ministry, people sometimes call and they got all these plans. You get asked to preach at a conference or somebody call and do these things. These things can get in the way and they can be a distraction to us. But Paul understood this. Here the Apostle Paul, one of the great men who founded the church, got started all over, went traveling all over the place, preaching in all kinds of places. He kept this in mind in spite of that. He had his plans. There were times he said, I want to go here, but the Holy Spirit said, no. Not now, maybe later, somebody else, not you. In Acts chapter 18, verse 21, Paul said, I will return again unto you if God will. 1 Corinthians 4:19, I will come to you shortly if the Lord will. 1 Corinthians 16:7, I trust to tarry a while with you if the Lord permit. Philippians 2:19, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you. Philippians 2:24, I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Hebrews 6:3, and this will we do if God permit. That doesn't mean every time you make a plan and you're on the phone, well, I'll see you for lunch, if the Lord wills. I'll see you for lunch if I don't get T-boned. I'll see you for lunch if I don't have a heart attack. Now, I'm not saying that, but keep that in the back of your mind.
Amen.
And when the plans don't go according to this elaborate plan and this business scheme and this business plan that you have, all of your organization and all that, if you keep in mind, I'm submitted to the Lord's will. When the accident happens or the disease hits or the death happens, it really doesn't rattle your cage quite as much. It keeps you focused where it should be. Don't glory in how talented you are and how wise you are and how educated you are. Be thankful for it. Use it. It's a tool in your hand. Accomplish everything God wants you to accomplish with your life. Don't waste the opportunities that have been given to you. Don't waste the training, the skills, the gifts that God's given you. But glory in the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, God. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Galatians chapter 6, 14. Paul said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. There's a lot of verses we could talk about glorifying God. That's what our whole life should be all about. Glorying in Him. And if He gives you success in the business, praise God for it. If He gives you a great mind, use it for Him. If He gives you a beautiful family, use them for Him. They're all gifts from Him. I'm reminded when I think of this of the rich man in Luke chapter 12, who talked about how his farm was booming and the crops were coming in and he had more than he could handle in the barns that he had. He said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to knock down that barn and build a bigger one so that I can take in all the crops. And God looks down at him in verse 20 of Luke chapter 12, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? You heard it before. But when the richest man on earth dies, how much is he going to leave behind? All of it. So our plans need to include Him, God.
Amen.
Plan and work hard as though everything depends on you, but remember that ultimately it all depends upon God. There's a man who wrote a poem that I think fits the attitude of some people today in business, some people in ministry, some people in any kind of field. William Ernest Henley wrote the poem Invictus. You've heard it. Maybe you had to read it in high school or junior high. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit, from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody, but unbowed. Beyond the place of wrath and tears looms but the horrors of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. That is atheistic, self-theistic thinking. That's not the way Christians should think. We are not the master of our fate. We are not the captain of our soul. God is. And we need to submit to Him willingly and allow Him to guide and direct our steps. Verse 16 says, but now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is as evil as that poem Invictus. It's just evil. I'm in charge. I want my way. I will do what I have to do. I will climb over who I have to climb. I will drop anything to accomplish my goals. And God says, no, you won't. Nobody's act like somebody's when we live as though our plan is better than God's. Or that it doesn't include God. We may not openly defy God, but we may just ignore Him altogether. A lot of people do. A lot of Christians do. Don't let it be you. And finally, nobody's act like somebody's when we ignore God's clear and understood commands. Verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know how you ought to live. You know how you ought to act. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. You understand, you are responsible. I'm responsible for what I've studied this week. I'm responsible for the things that I've learned in God's Word this week. You're responsible for what you got out of your devotions this week. You're also responsible for everything you heard this morning. You're going to give an account for it. And God's going to ask you, what did you think of that? Now, some of you are going to go home and have roast preacher for lunch. That's fine. But I hope that you'll pay attention to God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It's important that we act upon what we know. Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives a parable. Let's go back there real quick. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We're almost done. Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. From the words of Jesus Christ our Lord. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, verse 47, pay attention to this, and that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. I believe with all my heart there are people sitting in church pews will have greater punishment than those who never come to church and darken the door of a church. Because you know more. You heard it. You heard it over and over again. Some of you heard it until you can't take it anymore. And somebody out there in the street who's never been in church, never had the opportunity, didn't know, God's going to be a little more lenient with them. Verse 48, he that knew not and did not commit things worthy of stripes shall be, or did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. God expects a lot out of us. It's important that we act upon it. Do yourself a big favor. Recognize you are a nobody. And submit unto the will of God. And allow him to lead your life. Go back to James and we'll close out. James chapter 4. Verse 10. We've talked about people who are double-minded. We've talked about people who are prayerless. We've talked about people who are worldly. We've talked about people who had wagging tongues. We've talked about people who planned without thinking of God. We've talked about people who take for granted God's word and never pay attention to it. What's the answer? It's in the middle of the chapter, verse 10. We read it earlier. We quoted on it. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You want to be a somebody? Become a nobody. And let God do what he's going to do with it. And if you become a somebody, don't tell anybody. And don't believe it. Because if you are anybody, it's only because of the grace of God. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the conviction that it brings. Thank you for the encouragement that we can find in it. Lord, you've given us much. Help us to live it so that we can give a good accounting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.